Okay, we have got roughly 45 seconds to the closing bell. After we strike the gavel, Joe Fahmy, Zor Capital Managing Director, will help us make heads or tails of this, as will Robert Shine, Blankshine Wealth Management Chief Investment Officer. They are both standing by on deck to help us understand if the market rally we're appreciating right now, even though volume is light, can stand the test that is sure to come in the next 2 weeks. Let's see where we're setting up right now. Let's take a look. You've got the Dow up 342 points, almost a full percent. The S&P 500, that will be a record close, 47. If it were to be 47.90, it's up 1.3, almost 1.4%. NASDAQ is up over 1.4% as well. Here's the closing bell.
And we're still waiting for the numbers to settle here, but it looks like if it is indeed the case, we got 47.90, then that might be a record high on the S&P 500, again, on light volume on this Monday, December 27th. But that is a close to the market action today. So let's get a little bit more of a breakdown with our esteemed panel here. I'll turn to Robert over at Blankshine first. Robert, what's interesting is that the note that you sent us said that it's passive investors that are the most at risk right now. And I got to say, you're looking at the S&P 500, someone bought a bunch of SPY at the beginning of the year, you're feeling pretty good if that is indeed the case that we closed today at a record high. What say you?
For sure. This year has been a great year. It's a bounce back year. We're seeing that all across in a lot of indices. But as we position our clients and our portfolios for 2022, you know, that broadening is going to get a lot more narrow. And so we're going to see, you're going to have to choose your individual sectors, your individual investments on a go forward basis, because a lot of the easy money has already been made. But it's great to see that we're, I think it's 69th record close for the S&P if it holds right now.
Joe, you've signaled to some of your clients and to us that you're a little defensive. Why?
Yeah, in mid-December, I did lean a little bit defensive for two main reasons, the technicals and the Fed. Regarding the technicals, the 10-week moving average is one of the key areas I like to look at because it's traditionally and historically an area of institutional support. And the major averages, S&P, NASDAQ Composite, as well as a lot of the mega cap leaders like Alphabet and Tesla and Microsoft, were starting to dip below that level. But I will admit that the resilience was incredible last week. And all of those major indices, as well as the leaders, got back above that level, showing once again that the institutions continue to support this market. And regarding the Fed, they did change to a little bit more a hawkish tone over the last couple of weeks. And either one of two things: the market is pricing in that one or two hikes and that's it, or based on the 10-year, maybe the market's not pricing in any hikes at all. I know Brian follows the Fed closer than anyone, so I'm curious what his comments are.
Yeah, no, Joe, certainly it's going to be a very interesting 2022 with the possibility of those rate hikes. Of course, in the past, markets have always called it wrong when it comes to initial liftoff. So we'll see if the economic conditions warrant that. But Joe, I mean, I just want to follow up there and ask a non-Fed question. Where do you look in terms of sectors right now? I know that you like semiconductors. The ETF SMH, which is a personal favorite ticker of mine, is something that's definitely worth watching. But how does tech play into that if it is indeed the case that normalization could be coming next year?
Yeah, when I go through my scans and I look through all the stocks that fit great criteria of strong earnings and sales growth and strong technicals, semis are at the top of the list. I think that's where I have decent exposure to, and we'll hope to hopefully continue into next year. Another sector that I'm interested in is more of a mean reversion, beaten down sector with biotech, similar to how energy struggled in 2020 and rebounded in 2021. Biotech has been an underperforming and is negative on the year. So I wouldn't be surprised to see that rebound, not only because of the mean reversion, but a lot of the valuation of a lot of the components are very cheap. And also big cap pharma has a strong balance sheet. And I wouldn't be surprised if there's a lot of M&A next year in biotech to help the sector.
Robert, you've talked about passive investors being at risk right now. We asked a guest in the last hour about that. I'm curious, when we test this rally in the S&P 500, what's the support level? What's that going to look like? And where would people who have the ability to seek protection, Robert, what sector should they be looking at?
Yeah, so we like, in a go-forward basis, we like financials, obviously healthcare. But we just tested the moving average, the 50-day moving average on the S&P 500 last week. And we've had about four or five rallying trading days since then. So that's a really good short-term test. So long-term, you know, the setup is we like healthcare, we like financials. And again, the semiconductors, if you look at the trading today, even though it's light volume, it's still going to be the trend, and the trend is your friend in the semis.
And Joe, I want to ask about duration risk here, because what's been interesting is we've seen a considerable amount of volatility, at least as historically as volatile could be for the 10-year treasury. But is there anything that tells you about whether or not you want to be long in what could be an uncertain 2022 with not just the Fed pivot, but uncertainty over whether or not there could be other variants that could really make this pandemic perhaps longer than people had expected?
Yeah, that's a great question. I mean, I think regards with the Fed, I think even if they do raise and there is, you know, some uncertainty with that, you got to take a step back and look at the overall picture that interest rates will historically be very low and it'll still be an equity friendly environment. I think we're going to get a clearer picture when volume comes in the beginning of January, when the institutions are back as to a little bit of the trend for the first quarter. But overall, like Robert said, the trend is your friend, and why mess with it right now?
So let's follow up on that, Joe, though. If the trend is our friend and we have that meeting in March, let's go to the next round of summary of economic projections. What does it look like when they announce, not today, but soon, an interest rate increase? Or if they do announce it in March, what's going to happen to our investments?
Yeah, right now the taper is the first thing they're going to do. And I think they're going to telegraph any hikes. And the Fed director from New York said that they're data dependent. So we still have 3 months of CPI data, unemployment data to look at. So there's still a lot of uncertainties. But overall, as I said, when you take a step back, the environment's still friendly overall for equities. We'll, of course, see some volatility around those announcements or any other variants. But for overall, as long as the institutions continue to support this market, there's no reason to argue with the trend.
I mean, Robert, I just want to give you a chance to respond directly to that, because the note that you sent us said that the Fed is telegraphing those 3 rate hikes that you might think might be too many.
Yeah, I think it's going to be the theme of 2022 carrying over to watch the Federal Reserve. It's not only what they say, but it's also how they react. And like, you know, our guest also said, there's a lot of mileage of data that's going to be produced. I think I'm curious to see the January 5th, the minutes from the Federal Reserve that are going to be released. And, you know, they've removed the transitory. Now they have sticky as it relates to inflation. Inflation is on the forefront. We have a very strong economy. We have, you know, the healthy consumer, a 17-year high on consumer sales right now, 8.5%. So the economy's healthy going into 2022. The real question is, you know, the tapering's done, and in March, let's say, is what they predicted. Let's see how it plays out. But the global liquidity is also drying up. So if you take the, you know, billions of dollars and trillions of dollars of global liquidity, there's going to be a lot of volatility that we're anticipating for. We've got some cash on the sidelines. We're going to put it to work and choose our spots again for 2022.
Robert, let's wrap this up and give you the final question. So you're telling people, though, stay invested. We keep hearing, though, the returns next year are not going to be nearly what we've witnessed this year. I think S&P is going to be on track for a 25% gain. What should we expect next year, then?
You know, a modest 5 to 10% on the S&P. We don't want to be in the prediction, you know, business here, but we always are, right? I mean, even today we have a S&P close, an all-time high, and looking year over year, no one would have predicted. I think if you look at the economy and you look at what the last 24 months we've been through, it's clear that the consumer has the ability to meet the, you know, businesses where and how and when, whether it's, you know, direct to home or going back out there. And next year we're going to see the balance, rebalance of consumer goods to now services. And the service sector is going to have a real big rebound next year as well.
Joe Fahmy is Orr Capital Managing Director, and Robert Shine is Blankshein Wealth Management Chief Investment Officer. Thank you both for being here.